Harvest New Beginnings Church is located in Oswego, Illinois. We exist for God's glory alone, encouraging each other to have a deep love for God and a sincere love for people. This message is brought to you by Pastor Scott Poling.
It was August 1st, 2014. NBA All-Star. Here he is, Paul George. He was training with the U.S. national team, and he went up for a rebound, and he came down, and his right foot was never the same. You see, a bone was sticking out. The lower foot went on a 90-degree angle, is what happened. And they loaded him on a stretcher. They took him off, and that is a picture of extreme disappointment. That's a picture of a lost season, lost dreams, lost goals, and a potential lost career. The x-ray showed a compound fracture of the fibula and the tibia. It was a bad, bad break. Now, many of us here have suffered compound fractures. And I'm not talking a leg. I'm not talking an arm. But a heart. A shattered heart. Fractured relationships. Broken relationships. Maybe a marriage. It just has not turned out the way that you thought it was going to turn out. Maybe it even ended in divorce. Good friends. You don't even talk anymore. Coworkers. You now avoid each other. A son or a daughter that wants nothing to do with a mom or a dad. A brother and a sister, siblings, who maybe even haven't talked in years. I want you to understand that this is a broken world, and every single one of us experiences broken relationships. Do you realize every single person in the Bible is broken? Except one, but he still experienced broken relationships. Peter would deny him. Judas would betray him. His father would turn his face away from him as he took our sin. Every single person in the Bible has faced broken relationships. It's one of the things I love about the Bible. It's filled with real people, with real problems. And that's how we learn. And we're going to study the life of a broken man this morning. He's a train wreck of broken relationships. His life is recorded for us in the very last 13 chapters of Genesis. If you have your Bibles, turn to Genesis chapter 37. Chapter 37, and like Job last week, we're going to do an overview of a man's life this week. His name is Joseph. Incredible man, just this incredibly rich, deep narrative, this man's life. And we're not going to have time to go into every detail. Oh, I wish we could. But we're going to front load it with a lot of text and context and then work our way through these points. And it's just packed full of amazing lessons for me and for you. When it comes to relationships, because we live in relationship with others. This is the second message in the Life Disrupted series, when relationships are broken. First thing we're going to do is we're going to recognize some of the culprits of broken relationships. And there's tons of them that we won't look at. We're just going to study the ones that we see in the life of Joseph. So pick it up with me in Genesis chapter 37. I'm going to start halfway through verse 2 of Genesis 37. So we got a man named Joseph. He's 17 years of age, young guy, pasturing the flock with his brothers while he's still a youth, along with the sons of Bilhah, the sons of Zilpah, his father's wives. Yep, that's plural. Joseph brought back a bad report about them to their father. That's not what you do. Israel loved Joseph more than all his sons because he was the son of his old age, and he made him a varicolored tunic. And his brothers saw that his father loved him more than all his other brothers. And so they hated him. And they couldn't speak to him on friendly terms. So what we have here is we have a really messy home. You have one man with four wives and 12 sons from four different women. Yeah, that's not going to be good. Like I said, the Bible's real, real people, real sin, real problems. What are some of the contributing factors to these broken relationships? Let's go through them. Number one is tattling. Kids, listen up. That doesn't help your relationship with your siblings. Pasturing the flock with his brothers, bringing back a bad report, ratting them out. Talking behind someone's back is never what you do if you want to have a good relationship with someone, because they will find out about it. You are undermining trust. Do Do not talk behind people's backs. As a matter of fact, a similar thought in Proverbs 30, do not slander a servant to his master, lest he curse you and you be found guilty or held guilty. So have the difficult conversation with somebody face to face. Stop talking behind your friend's back, your classmate's back, your teammate's back, that relative's back. Have the conversation with them. And by the way, don't get into an email war with somebody. You're going to send me a nasty critical email. I've never gotten one. But if you do, I will send you one email back. And do you know what it will say? Come on in and let's talk face to face. That's how you handle things. So don't tattle, don't talk behind people's back. Here's another problem. Favoritism. You have a foolish father setting up his son. What did he do? Obviously loves Joey Boy more. Gives him the multicolored, very colored tunic. His brothers see that he loves him more. Parents, be very, very careful of blatant favoritism. Especially in a blended family with different kids from different parents. Do not show favoritism. Here's another one. Unresolved anger. The brothers hate little Joey Boy. Genesis 37, verse 4, they hated him. They couldn't speak on friendly terms to him. Verse 5, they hated him even more. Verse 8, they hate him even more. This liquid lava of hate just bubbling under the surface, ready to explode. Be careful of your anger. Be careful of the anger you have toward another person and deal with it right. God had some great advice to another brother. His name was Cain. It was recorded in Genesis 4. The Lord said to Cain, why are you angry? Why is your countenance fallen? Why are you so glum? Why are you feeling sorry for yourself? Why are you walking around looking like that? If you do well, will not your countenance be lifted up? If you don't do well, sin is crouching at the door and its desire for you is for you, but you must master it. So he says, listen, admit you have an anger problem, okay? And then focus on doing what's right. Stop looking at that person who did you wrong and talking about what they did and how they did it and what they said and all that. Stop that and you focus on your relationship with God and what does God want you to do. They should not be your focus. God should be your focus in doing what God wants you to do. And master it, he says, because sin is ready to pounce. It's ready to pounce. Here's some good advice from the New Testament, Ephesians 4. Be angry. There are times to be angry. Somebody said something, did something, it was wrong. Be angry, yet do not sin. Don't let it become sin in your life. Do not let the sun go down on your anger. Do not give the devil an opportunity. So deal with it now, not later. Deal with it now. You have a problem, an issue with a person, don't go to bed angry. Talk it out, pray it out, work through it. Because if you don't and you let it sit, it's guaranteed you will do what is wrong and you will say what is wrong. Deal with it now, not later, because there's an enemy and he wants to exploit it. Here's another one, tattling, favoritism, unresolved anger, bitter jealousy is another one. We see in verse 11 of 37, his brothers were jealous of him. So we have jealousy and anger. Do you know what jealousy and anger are? They're ungodly siblings that live in the same home. And they're troublemakers, they hang out together. And jealousy is the worst of the two. Proverbs chapter 27, 4. Wrath is fierce, anger is a flood, but who can stand before jealousy? See, anger kind of erupts and gets it over with. Jealousy lingers like a poison in your system. And it affects everything about you, your attitude, your actions is what it does. After bitter jealousy, don't forget pride. Now, Joey Boy is not without fault. He's the guy running around with a multi-colored tunic saying, look at me, boys, look what dad got me. Joey Boy is the one bragging about his dreams. On two occasions, God gives him a dream about the future. In Genesis 37, he says, please listen to this dream which I've had, for behold, we were binding sheaves in the field, and lo, my sheaf rose up and stood erect. Behold, your sheaves gathered around and bowed down to mine. Isn't that nice? He has another dream about the stars and the moons. He says, lo, here's my other dream in verse 9. Behold, the sun and the moon and the 11 stars were bowing down to me. Oh, Joseph, what are you doing? Listen, if God has blessed you, if God has given to you, the last thing you need to do is run around and flaunt it in the face of relatives and friends. That does not endear you or me to anyone. Here's some great advice. Proverbs 27, 2. Let another praise you and not your own mouth. a stranger and not your own lips. Don't be about self-promotion. Let others do our promoting. Now it all comes to a head, all the tattling, favoritism, anger, jealousy, pride, and the brothers have had enough, and this family is better off without Joseph. So let's tear up his tunic and let's dash his dreams. And now another day will come when Joseph is sent out to check on his brothers, okay? And they see him from a distance and they start plotting his demise. We pick it up in verse 20 of Genesis 37. The brothers say, come, let us kill him and throw him into one of the pits. And they say, oh, and we'll say, a wild beast has devoured him, and let us see what will become of his dreams. Came about, Joseph reached his brothers. They stripped Joseph of his tunic, multicolored tunic that was on him. They took him, they threw him into the pit. Pit was empty without water. They sat down to have a nice meal. They raise their eyes, they look, behold, a caravan of Ishmaelites was coming from Gilead with their camels bearing aromatic gum and balm and myrrh on their way to bring them down to Egypt. So what do? They pull them up from the pit. Instead of killing them, they sell them off. They sold them to the Ishmaelites for 20 shekels of silver. Thus they brought Joseph down to Egypt. Talk about a break in a relationship. Here's another culprit of broken relationships. Continual lying. What are they going to tell Dad? Verse 31, they took Joseph's tunic, slaughtered a male goat, dipped the tunic in the blood, and they sent the very color tunic, brought it to their father and said, we found this. Please examine it to see whether this is your son's tunic or not. He examines it, the dad does. It's my son's tunic. A wild beast has devoured him. Surely, Joseph has surely been torn to pieces. Jacob tears his clothes, puts on sackcloth on his loins, and mourns for his son many days. Not one day, many days. Not 365 days, many days. They will perpetuate the lie for 22 years. They will lie, and they will lie, and they will lie for 22 years. They will let their dad suffer for 22 years. They will watch him remember the anniversary of Joseph's passing for 22 years. 22 years of lying means 22 years of loss. Lost memories. Lost birthdays, holidays. Lost love. A relationship between a father and a son. I want you to understand, lies rip apart the fabric of a family. A husband lying to his wife about anything destroys the family. A wife lying to her husband destroys. A child lying to her parents destroys. Parents lying to children destroys. Prioritize the truth in your home. Always be true. Always tell the truth. Always live the truth, because lies destroy. As a matter of fact, the very first part of the armor of God in Ephesians chapter 6, we are told, is the truth. Stand firm. If you're going to stand firm in this life and stand firm as a family and stand firm in your relationships, having girded your loins with truth, meaning wrap your life up in the truth. Do not live in deception of any sort. Do not tell any lies. Be a man above reproach. Be a woman above reproach. Be a young person who tells the truth. Well, Joseph's home is a mess. We've examined the house. How's work look for its relationships? Let's catch up with Joseph, 39:1 of Genesis. Joseph has been taken down to Egypt to Potiphar, an Egyptian officer of Pharaoh. The captain of the bodyguard bought him from the Ishmaelites who had taken him down there. So Joseph is now working as a slave, and work is going great, as well as slave work can go. He's being promoted and promoted and promoted until another relationship problem happens, and we see this in Genesis 39:6. Joseph was handsome in form and appearance. Ladies, he's a looker. He is fine, fine, fine. He is eye candy, ladies, okay? It came about after these events that his master's wife, she sees him, looks with desire at Joseph, and she says, lie with me, rather forward. He refuses and said to his master's wife, behold, with me here my master does not concern himself with anything in the house. He's put all that he owns in my charge. there's no one greater in this house than I. He's not withheld nothing from me except you because you're his wife. How then could I do this great evil and sin against God? And as she spoke to Joseph day after day, that's crazy. He didn't listen to her to lie beside her or be with her. Happened one day that he went into the house to do his work and none of the men in the house were there. Uh-oh. She caught him by his garment and said, "Lie with me." She left, and he left his garment with her in his hand, and he fled and went outside. Another culprit to broken relationships are inappropriate relationships. Inappropriate relationship with a neighbor. Inappropriate relationship with a coworker. Inappropriate contact that you should not have. Inappropriate communication that should never be taking place. It could be a bold sexual advance like here. It could just be flirting, which you should not be doing. Emotional affair that you're having with someone, or a secret text conversation with someone that is not your spouse. What are you doing? What are you doing texting with that person? What are you doing private messaging that person back and forth? Are you crazy? Are you trying to destroy the fabric of your home? Trying to destroy your marriage? Stop it immediately. Block the number. Cut it off now. Enough is enough. Joseph set up safeguards, but he was still set up. See, Mrs. Potiphar's a cougar on the prowl. She made sure she dismissed all the other workers when he came into work one day. I want to encourage you, set up safeguards. One of them is don't be alone with a person of the opposite sex who is not your spouse. You don't be alone. I'm just going to tell you, this is something I've done for 30 years of marriage. I have never gone out to lunch with a woman who is not my wife alone. Never. I'm not going to do that. I have never driven in a car with a woman who is not my wife alone. I will just not do that. Guard your testimony, men and women. Please. Well, we don't do anything. All it takes is one person talking. And just be very, very careful of those bonds that start to form with someone who is not your spouse. Have boundaries in place. Here's the next one. Inappropriate relationships always lead and always are accompanied by lies. And now we see lying for the second time. Verse 13 of chapter 39. She sees that he had left his garment in her hand and he fled outside. She called to the men of the household and said, "See, he's brought this Hebrew in to make sport of us. He came to me to lie with me," and I screamed. Oh my goodness. Couldn't be farther from the truth. "When he heard that, I raised my voice and screamed. He left his garment beside me, fled, and went outside." So she left his garment beside her until his master came home. Verse 19. "Now when the master heard the words of his wife, which he spoke, saying, 'This is what your slave did to me,' his anger burned." So Joseph's master took him, threw him into jail, the place where the king's prisoners were confined, and he was there in the jail. I want you to notice here, relationships break when lies are told and when lies are believed. Relationships break when lies are told. The gossip, the slander, the things that are not true. Proverbs 16:28, "A dishonest man spreads strife and a whisperer separates close friends." A whisperer is gossip. Gossip destroys relationships. Slander destroys relationships. Some of you know that. You used to be good friends with somebody and then somebody heard something, somebody said something, somebody shared something that was not true. Destroys relationships. And believing lies destroys relationships. Potiphar never gets to the heart of the issue. He just automatically believes his wife, throws Joseph in jail. I want you to understand, some of you have broken relationships because you believe something that wasn't true. And you never had the guts enough to go to the person and ask. It's your fault. What you believed was not true. You heard the gossip and you just took it as true. Oh, can you believe that? You heard the slander and you internalized it as true. Instead of saying, "I need to get to the bottom of this. I need to set up a meeting. I need to talk to somebody." Some of you need to have a conversation with somebody. And you need to put that person on the spot and find out the truth, because you do not have the truth. And what happens? Collateral damage. The lies caused the break in a relationship with Potiphar's wife, obviously. The lies caused a break in the relationship with Potiphar. The lies also caused a break in the relationship with all of Joseph's friends. all of the other servants, all of his coworkers. Do you realize when he got fired and he got thrown in jail, all those relationships were stopped? Collateral damage, lies. Now, it's not only sin that breaks relationships, and we've seen these culprits. Not only doing what's wrong breaks relationship, but also doing what's right. See, Joseph was honest, a man of integrity, moral. He obeyed God, and it cost him relationships. It cost his job. So there are times when we need to stand up and say what's right and do what's right and understand it might cost us, and that's okay as well. Now, when relationships are broken, recognize the culprits. Number two, you are not abandoned. Please understand that. Sometimes when someone breaks off a relationship, we go into this spiral of nobody cares, and that's just not true. You are not abandoned. Joseph was abandoned by his brothers, not by his God. He was abandoned by his boss, not by his God. We read in the New Testament in Acts 7, patriarchs became jealous of Joseph, sold him into Egypt, yet God was with him. Where was God with him? When he was abandoned as a slave, God was with him in Potiphar's house. We read in Genesis 39 that the Lord was with Joseph and he became a successful man. We read again in verse 3 and verse 5, the Lord was with him. The Lord caused all that he did to prosper, and we're told that he blessed the Egyptian's house on account of Joseph. He was with him in Potiphar's house. He was with him in jail. When Joseph is thrown in jail, we read in Genesis 39, 21, the Lord was with him and extended kindness and gave him favor in the sight of the chief jailer. And he just advances there and is promoted there. And then toward the end, verse 23, because the Lord was with him. Whatever he did, the Lord made it to prosper. He's blessed in Potiphar's house as a slave. He's blessed as he's arrested in jail. And he's blessed before Pharaoh. Now, I want to give you a little context. Joseph will sit in jail for 2 years. He will be forgotten about. 2 years. The cupbearer to the king that is in jail has a dream, and Joseph interprets the dream. And the cupbearer is released. And Joseph says, just remember me. I'm here wrongly. He doesn't remember Joseph. 2 years later, Pharaoh starts having dreams. Two dreams. And then the cupbearer says, oh, wait a minute, I remember some Hebrew slave. He interpreted my dream. He's pretty good. Well, you know what? You need to bring him in here, Pharaoh. Pharaoh does. And Joseph interprets the dreams accurately and gives advice based on the two dreams. 7 years of famine, 7 years of plenty, then 7 years of famine. And so Pharaoh says, come on in. Pharaoh hears the interpretation and the advice. And you know what Pharaoh says? I like this guy. He's good. And this is what he does. For Joseph in Genesis 41. You shall be over my house, and according to your command, all my people shall do homage. Only in the throne I'll be greater than you. Pharaoh says to Joseph, see, I've set you over all the land of Egypt. First thing I'd say, let me talk to Mrs. Potiphar. No, he doesn't do that. Pharaoh took off his signet ring from his hand, put it on Joseph's hand, clothed him in garments of fine linen, put a gold necklace around his neck, made him ride in the second chariot. They proclaimed before him, bow the knee, and they set him over all the land of Egypt. Verse 46, Joseph was 30 years old when he stood before Pharaoh, king of Egypt, and Joseph went out from the presence of Pharaoh and went through all the land of Egypt. How old is this guy? Pastor Andrew's age. He's 30 years old, and he's in charge of an entire nation, the most powerful nation at the time. I want you to understand something about young people. Don't you dare look down your nose at them. You have no idea their gifting. You have no idea how spirit-filled they are. You have no idea how God is using them, and I can say that of Andrew. He's one of my best friends, and this guy has elevated my ministry and everybody's ministry in this church, and he runs circles around me administratively. I can't find my keys, turn on the left stoves on. I can't do anything right, but anyway. Don't you ever look down your nose at a young person. And by the way, you who are younger men and women here, don't you ever doubt what God can do with you. God can fill you and use you in the most amazing ways if you live by faith and if you trust him. Anyway, Joey boy's come a long way, hasn't he? Unbelievable. Thank God for broken relationships. Thank God for broken relationships. Joseph was not abandoned, and neither are you. Please understand an important lesson. The Lord does not abandon us in the midst of our brokenness. The Lord does not abandon you in the midst of your brokenness. Psalm 34:18, the Lord is near to the brokenhearted and saves those who are crushed in spirit. Psalm 147, he heals the brokenhearted and he binds up their wounds. See, when relationships are broken, we got to recognize these culprits. You're not abandoned. Here's the next one. Move forward, people. Stop living in the past. Everybody goes through broken relationships. You got to learn to move forward. And we just see this simply in the names of Joseph's two sons. In Genesis 41, he names his firstborn Manasseh, meaning God has made me forget all my trouble and all my father's household. I'm moving forward. He names the second one Ephraim, for he said, God has made me fruitful in the land of my affliction. I'm moving forward, people. So your next child that you have, you name them, I'm over you, people. I'm moving forward. I'm blessed in the midst of my brokenness. Now, this doesn't mean as we move forward, it doesn't mean we forget about reconciliation and the need for that at times. So hold on to that. What we do learn is this. God has not abandoned this man. He's moved forward. Think about this. He's been sold as a slave, not once, but twice. Sold to the Ishmaelites, then sold to Potiphar. He's moved forward. He was thrown into jail after being accused falsely of sexual misconduct. He's moved forward. He's now over the household of Pharaoh. Listen, if God was not done with Joseph, God's not done with you. Philippians 1:6, I am confident of this very thing, that he who began a good work in you will perfect it until the day of Christ Jesus. He's going to work on you and he's going to work on me until the day we get to heaven. And so don't you dare doubt that your God does not care. And don't you dare doubt that your God is not working. Continue to move forward with your God. So when relationships are broken, the next thing we learn is refuse revenge. Now what we're going to do, we're going to fast forward 22 years later. Joseph is the overlord of Egypt, in charge of everything. He is one powerful dude. 22 years later, guess who shows up in Egypt land from Canaan? His 10 big brothers. We pick it up in Genesis 42, verse 5. So the sons of Israel came to buy grain among those who were coming, for the famine was in the land of Canaan also. Joseph was the ruler of the land. He was the one who sold to all the people of the land. Joseph's brothers came and they bowed down to him and their faces to the ground. Verse 8, Joseph had recognized his brothers, although they did not recognize him. The brothers are running out of food. Egypt is the only country with food, and Joey is in charge of all the food. Boy, is he in a good spot. And Joseph sees them, and you know what he immediately does? He rubs his hands together and he says, now's my chance, you're gonna pay. No, he doesn't. You know what he does? Or you know what he could have done? What I probably would have done? Instantly revealed myself. Hi boys, remember me, little Joe? He could have tortured them. He could have executed them. He could have at least thrown them in a pit and sold them into slavery. I'd have been tempted to make them all wear multicolored tunics and parade around just to shame them. You know what? They bowed before him. You know what he could have really done? This reminds me of a dream. Can I tell you about it? He didn't even do that. And by the way, they will bow to him 5 times. 4 before they know who he is. And once after they know who he is. There's no revenge. He does just the opposite. On 2 different occasions, he will have their sacks filled with food and he will return their money in the sacks. He'll actually give their money back is what he does. Here's a good reminder for you and me when we're mad at somebody. Romans 12. Never pay back evil for evil to anyone. Respect what is right in the sight of all men. If possible, so far as it depends on you, be at peace with all people, all men. And it means if possible, you do everything you can to be at peace. Sometimes it's not possible, but you need to. Never take your own revenge, beloved, but leave room for the wrath of God. For it is written, vengeance is mine, I'll repay, says the Lord. You just leave them in the hands of God. This is what I want you to do. If your enemy's hungry, feed him. If he's thirsty, give him a drink. In so doing, you'll heap burning coals on his head. When he sees your response, it'll shame him. Do not be overcome by evil, but overcome evil with good. When relationships are broken, here's the next one. This is so important. Remember, people change. Would you just turn to the person next to you and tell them that? Remember, people change. Remember, people change. I don't want to hear that when I'm mad at somebody. When I'm mad at somebody, I don't want to think they can change. And in my bitterness, I want to refuse to believe that they will change. In our hurt, we want to say they can't change. In our anger, we're going to say they will never change. They won't change. And it's not true. Everyone can change. People change. Your ex-spouse can change. Your coworker can change. Your mom and dad can change, your parents. Your child, your children can change. Your husband, ladies, can change. I know it seems impossible. He can change. Your wife can change. You change. You have changed. You've grown. You're not the same person. You've matured. I want you to understand that. You've stretched. You've been taught. People change. You change. Joseph has changed. He's no longer the cocky little teenager prancing around in the colorful tunic. He's no longer running around bragging about all of his dreams. He's changed. And by the way, not only has Joseph changed, his brothers have changed. The last Joseph knew of his brothers, they were hateful, spiteful, angry, lying, deceiving, merciless, greedy people. They've changed. How do we know they've changed? He tests them. Remember, they don't know it's Joseph. He knows it's them. He tests their honesty, the first thing. He'll speak harshly to them and accuse them of being spies. And they respond in verse 11 of 42. We are all sons of one man. We are honest men. And right there, Joseph did the biggest eye roll in the history of the world. Yeah, you're honest men. I know all about your honesty. Mm-hmm. Sure you are. Genesis 42:16. He tells him, send one of you that he may get your brother. He knows about the younger brother, Benjamin. That's his one full brother, youngest brother of all. While you remain confined, and let's see if your words, let's test them, whether there's truth in you. Verse 19 of 42. If you're honest men, he goes again in verse 20, bring your youngest brother to me that your words may be verified. So he's going to test their honesty and they're going to pass. He's going to test their pride. He puts them in jail in verse 17, put them in prison for 3 days. He's going to test their greed. We already saw this. He returns all of their money in their sack, not once, but twice. He knows they're greedy men. They sold him into slavery for 20 shekels of silver. How are they going to respond to this? They pass. They will come back the next time and say, we don't know what happened. We have all of this money. We want to give it back. They've changed. He tests their jealousy. Remember how jealous they were of him? He invites them to this huge meal. The overlord of Egypt and all of the world. That's him. And they're sitting down for a meal in Genesis 43. They're seated before him, the firstborn according to his birthright and the youngest according to his birth. And they're looking at each other saying, how did he get all of our ages right? What's going on here? And then he took portions to them from his own table, but Benjamin's portion was 5 times as much as theirs, and they feasted and drank freely with him. He says, let's see how they act to my little brother when I know how they acted to me with favoritism, and he gave him 5 times as much, and there's no response. They seem okay. Most importantly, he tests their selfishness. What will they do with the little brother? Will they leave him to rot like they did with me? Will they leave him here a slave and all of them go back to Canaan? What will they do? And Joseph overhears and has a couple conversations that are life-changing. The first one, he overhears Reuben and the other brothers talking in Genesis 42:21. They said to one another, truly we're guilty concerning our brother because we saw the distress of his soul when he pleaded with us. They're talking about Joseph when they threw him in the pit. We didn't listen, therefore this distress has come upon us. And Reuben says, did I not tell you, do not sin against the boy, and you'd not listen, and now comes our reckoning for his blood. And they did not know, however, that Joseph understood, for there was an interpreter between them. Then Joseph has a conversation with Judah. And Judah comes, and we pick up what Judah says concerning Benjamin and concerning Jacob, Joseph's father. Genesis 44. Judah says, now therefore, when I come to your servant, my father, if we all go back to Canaan and we don't bring Benjamin with us, the lad is not with us, since his life is bound up in the lad's life. When he sees that the lad is not with us, he will die. Thus your servants will bring his gray hair, your servant, our father, down to the grave, Sheol, in sorrow. For your servant, Judah says, your servant, me, became surety for the lad to my father. If I don't bring him back to you, let me bear the blame before my father forever. Now therefore, please let your servant, let me, Judah says, remain instead of the lad, a slave to my lord, and let the lad go up with his brothers. For how shall I go up to my father if the lad's not with me, for fear that I see the evil that would overtake my father? Judah says, I will stay. I will be the slave. I will give up my life for my younger brother. I will not do anything that could cause my dad to die. Take me instead. He's changed. They've all changed. People change. They're not the same brothers. See, when relationships are broken, restoration is possible. It is. Remember this picture of Paul George? That's actually a new one. Remember that horrible compound fracture? Yeah, he's completely healed and recovered. He's once again an all-star in the NBA. He starts for the LA Clippers. Those bones that were broken have been restored. Do you realize that broken relationship can be restored? It can be. It takes time. It takes hard work. God is the God of the impossible. I think God wants us to be all stars at reconciliation. He wants us to get back on the floor again of life. He doesn't want us sitting on the sidelines complaining and whining and slandering and gossiping and telling everybody what they did and what they did and what they said and what they said. No, he wants us proactive all-stars in the game of reconciliation in life. And so get back on the floor. And you may say, well, my ex-spouse, I understand you're never going to marry your ex-spouse again. But you could at least have good conversations with them. And you can at least have a good relationship with them. Understand that. God wants reconciliation. One of my favorite passages in all of the Bible is the reveal of Joseph to his brothers. After these conversations that he's heard, we pick it up in Genesis 45. Joseph couldn't control himself before all those who stood by him, and he cried, have everyone go out from me. There's no one with Joseph with him when he made himself known to his brothers. He wept so loudly, the Egyptians heard it, and all the household of Pharaoh heard it. And then he says, in the middle of his bawling and his weeping, he says to his brothers, okay, I am Joseph. Is my father still alive? But his brothers couldn't answer him, for they were dismayed at his presence. Joseph said to his brothers, please come closer to me. He's bawling his eyes out, and he's saying, would you just please come here? Would you just please come here, my brothers? I've missed you. You don't understand what God has done in my life. I see you've changed. I've changed. And he's bawling his eyes out, saying, come here, brothers. They came closer. He said, I'm your brother Joseph, you whom you sold into Egypt. Now do not be grieved or angry with yourselves because you sold me here, for God sent me before you to preserve life. Do you notice what Joseph just did? This is the only time Joseph brings up their past sin. And he does it in reference of them not being angry with themselves. I want you to think about that. How often we bring up people's past sin. Well, do you remember when you did this? And you remember when you said that? Do you remember when you acted like that? And you remember? Joseph doesn't do any of that. The only time he brings up their past sin is when he says, don't be angry with yourself. God has this. Do you know what Joseph does? He chooses to love. 1 Corinthians 13:4-5. Love does not keep record of wrongs. I want you to choose to love that person and stop throwing the past up in their face. I want you to choose to love that person and stop keeping a record of wrongs. Joseph is a man with a broken heart and a softened heart, and do you realize? He cries, it's recorded for us, 8 times in 7 chapters. 8 times. He'll weep when he hears the remorse of his brothers in 42 of Genesis. He weeps when he sees his youngest brother for the first time and he runs out of the room and washes so they don't see him crying. He'll weep at the reaction with Judah that we saw already. And then the one that I want to read is Genesis 45:12. He weeps on all of his brothers. Behold, your eyes see, the eyes of my brother Benjamin see. It's my mouth which is speaking to you. Now you must tell my father of all my splendor in Egypt and all that you've seen, and you must hurry and bring my father down here. It's been 22 years since I've seen my dad. Bring him to me. And then he falls on Benjamin's neck, his youngest brother, full brother, and weeps on him. And Benjamin wept on his neck, and he kissed all of his brothers and wept on them. He is a slobbering, crying mess, and he's hugging on all his brothers, blowing his nose on their shoulders, weeping all over them. And he's the most powerful guy in the world with a huge heart of restoration. He'll weep again when he's reunited with his dad after 22 years. He sees his dad and he weeps on his neck a long time. He'll weep after the death of his dad. He falls on his dad after he dies and he'll weep on him. He'll weep at the words of his brothers one last time. I want you to understand, restoration is possible. Changed hearts make restoration possible. Softened hearts make restoration possible. And some of us need to let God change our hearts. Because you've had a hard heart towards somebody for a very long time. And it's time that you let God change your heart. And it's time you let God soften your heart. And for some of us, you know what we need? We need a really good cry. Or maybe a bunch of good cries. And for some of us, you know what we need? We need a lot of good embraces. Forget the COVID. Just go hug somebody. Cry all over them, okay? That's what Joseph is doing. He's so vulnerable. You know what some of you need to do? You need to text somebody. You need to call that person. You need to set up a meeting with them. You need to talk to them. You need to pray with them. You need to cry with them. You need to hug them. I know, it's too late, Pastor Scott. It is never too late. This is 22 years later. Don't you dare tell God it's too late. 22 years later, restoration still takes place. One last thing, when relationships are broken, trust God's sovereignty. Thank God for broken relationships. Joseph would have never said that when his brothers threw him in the pit. Thank God for broken relationships, boys. He'd have never said that when he was sold to the Ishmaelites. Hey, my brothers, thank God for broken relationships. When Potiphar, accuses him, or his wife accuses him, thank God for broken relationships. I'm in jail. He would have never said these things. Thank God, I'm in jail for 2 years. You forgot about me. God is sovereign. Look at Joseph's words in Genesis 45:5-8. God sent me before you to preserve life. Verse 7, God sent me before you to preserve. Verse 8, it was not you who sent me here, but God. God made me father. He sees the bigger picture. See, in the middle of our pain and suffering, we don't see the big picture. We wallow in our pain instead of trusting God with our pain. And we've got to start realizing there is a much bigger picture. And God is doing something much bigger in our lives. See, he didn't see it because he had the wrong kind of vision. He had this blurred vision about life. And I have the same vision at times, and so do you. And you know what God has to do? He has to correct my vision, and he has to correct your vision. And you know what the correct vision is? We got to have 50-20 vision. Well, I thought 20, no, no, no. 50-20 is the right vision. Look at verse 20 of chapter 50. As for you, you meant evil against me, but God meant it for good in order to bring about this present result to preserve many people alive. That's 50-20 vision. They meant it for evil. God's going to use it for good. And I'm going to trust God in this brokenness. No matter what they have done, no matter what they have said, I am going to have the correct kind of vision. God is going to use this for my good. So whenever we are broken, God is up to something good. Whenever we are broken, God is up to something good. Romans 8:28, we know that God causes all things to work together for good to those who love God, to those who are called according to his purpose. So when relationships are broken, say them with me. Recognize the culprits. You are not abandoned. Move forward. Refuse revenge. Remember, people change. Restoration is possible, and trust God's sovereignty. Would you bow your heads? You may be here online or in person, and you've never trusted in God for your salvation. The most important relationship is one with God. And he wants that relationship with you. He sent his son to die on the cross for us. Would you right now ask God to save you? Would you ask him to forgive you? He will cleanse you of all your sin. Would you do that right now? Just use words like these. Lord, I need you. Would you please save me? Would you please forgive me of all my sin? Thank you for dying on the cross for me. Thank you for loving me. Please forgive me. Amen.
If you've been prompted by this message and are in need of a new beginning, or would like more information about Harvest New Beginnings, visit @harvest.church.